So Jesus says in John 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he repeats these words in John 9 verse 5, I am the light of the world. And all of us can identify with these words the Lord Jesus is using here, because we know the importance of light in our lives. We know the importance of being able to see. We make the best use of daylight hours in our days, in work and play. We try to do as much as we can while it is still light. And I was doing some work in the garden yesterday, and I noticed already that at 4 o'clock, the light was reducing, and I had to hurry up. And we do love the long days in the summer. I lived in Sweden for a while, and in the summer it's great because it's light for 24 hours. But the opposite is, in the winter you only got a few hours of light, and I can tell you it's quite depressing. And sometimes in our world nowadays people do work at night, especially on the busy motorways. But then you can see they install these floodlights, so that the workers have enough light to see what they're doing. Since a few months, the street lights, I'm not sure how it is here, but in Essex, the street lights switch off at 12 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning. And then actually you can see how dark it is. You can see how difficult it is to find your way, especially when you're walking. So light is essential to life. We need the light of the sun for life and health and work. Without it, we could not function or live. And in these words we have read, Jesus claimed that we cannot live without him. He is the light of life. And this is the second I am claim that Jesus makes, and which is recorded in John's Gospel. The first was a couple of chapters before, when he said in John 6 verse 35, I am the bread of life. And again now, when he says, I am the light of life, he compares himself with something physical, tangible. In this case, with light. You need him to be able to see clearly. You need him to live as God intended you to live, and how he created you to be. So this morning we will look at these words and we will consider three things. First, we will consider his astounding claim to be the light of the world. Secondly, his invitation to follow him. And thirdly, his promise of life to those who do. So first we will look at the astounding claim that he makes when he says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus makes this claim while talking to the Jewish leaders in the temple courts. Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast commemorated God's care for his people during the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. And we're not sure exactly when Jesus said these words, or exactly where he was. Many commentators think that he was in the court of women, of the women. Because in that area were 4 huge lamps made out of many candles. And these lamps were lit at the beginning of the feast. And each night many people would celebrate under the light of these huge lamps. And those celebrations would go right through the night with music and dancing. So it could very well be that Jesus has made this claim in this setting. He might have been standing next to these huge lamps and announced, I am the light of the world. And his claim has a very strong background in the Old Testament. And we see that in various places. We read in the opening verses of the Bible about the light. Because on the first day of creation, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1 verse 3. And light for Israel was also associated with the glory of God. One of the meanings of the word glory is light or radiance. And when Moses asks God in Exodus 33 verse 18, please show me your glory. The Lord does pass by, but protects Moses by covering him with his hand. And when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was radiant. And the Israelites covered his face because they were too afraid to come near him. Light was also connected with God's word and God's law in the Old Testament. We read that in Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And light was also used for God himself. In Psalm 27, the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So when Jesus makes this claim to be the light of the world, he made a claim to be God. He aligned himself firstly with God's creation. He aligned him with God's glory, with his word and law, and also with God as a person. God the Father was the light, and so Jesus was the light. And that's why the Jews, the Pharisees, immediately challenged him in verse 13 of chapter 8. They said, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. They thought his claim was outrageous. How could a normal man say such things? How could he make such a claim? Who did he think he was? And in the rest of this discussion with the Jews, recorded in chapter 8, Jesus gave his own credentials. He explained that he testified about himself in John 8 verse 14. Later on he says that his father testified of him in verse 18. And later that his death in the future would also prove his claims in verse 28. But not only did Jesus claim that he was the light, but even that he was the light of the world. And the prophets of the Old Testament had predicted this. Through Isaiah, God had foretold that the servant of the Lord would be as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49 verse 6b. And you might not be aware of this, but this is actually the text you have on your website, under your About Us section. You talk on your website about Jesus being the light. And when Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. And there his parents met with the old Simeon, who praised God that these prophecies had been fulfilled and that the light of the world had come. We read in Luke 2, Simeon took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Sadly enough, Jesus came to his own people, but his own people rejected him. They did not receive him. But after he had ascended to heaven, then the good news about him was proclaimed to the whole world, to Jews and Gentiles, to the peoples of all races and places. And that is still happening today. Jesus is continuing to shed his light in the dark cities and regions of this world, so that people might have this light in their life. And we should also note that Jesus is making this claim about himself as a person, and not as some sort of vague force or power. And to give you something in comparison, I once read the words that appeared in a as a Christmas meditation in a magazine. which was as follow. The love light which the Christ floods the planet with each year at Christmas is gradually changing the atomic vibration of the earth. And it is this great outpouring of love light each year which is the real Christmas gift of Christ to this world. And this quote is typical in the New Age spirituality that is common today. But this is not what Jesus meant. When he said that he was the light of the world, he did not mean that he would change its atomic vibration. Rather, he called people to a living relationship with himself as the world's light. And he pointed them to a true knowledge of God the Father. And this gave him all the reason to make this claim. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And this brings us to our second point, to consider his invitation to follow him. During this Feast of Tabernacles, the people of Israel remembered how God had led them through the desert. And you might know the story. During the day, he led them with a pillar of cloud, which symbolized the presence of God. And during the night, this pillar of cloud changed into a pillar of fire. And just as the people of Israel had followed the light of this pillar of fire, so Jesus urges us to follow him. And if you're going to follow someone, you want him to be a reliable guide. I worked for many years in seaports where the big ships arrive. And when a big ship comes into a port, a captain doesn't do it on his own. He relies fully on a pilot. Because the pilot is local. He is familiar with the tide, with the stream, with the directions, and also with the other traffic on the river. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you want to be sure that he is a reliable guide, that he knows the proper path, and that he can lead you into the right direction. Well, you can safely follow him, because Jesus is not just the Son of God, he is also the Son of Man. He is divine and human. And because he is God, he holds the map. He knows the journey from the beginning to the end. He knows the route you need to follow. And because he is man, he knows exactly what you will face on the journey. He has traveled this road already. He knows the difficulties and the temptations that you face in your life. So you can rely on him. The writer of the Hebrews urges us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You can follow him because he has traveled this path already. He knows the way. So to follow him requires faith. Abraham was listed as one of the great men of faith, because he obeyed the Lord when God told him to move to another country. He obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. We read that in Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And then there was not a big discussion or big questions from Abraham saying, so where am I going? When do I need to be there? The whole plan. No, in verse 4 it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He trusted God. And in the same way, a Christian who trusts in Christ will follow him through life, no matter where that leads. So do you trust the Lord Jesus? Are you following his shining light? Or are you trying to find your way with your own feeble lamp? Will you keep on following him every day through all of your life, no matter what that costs? Because to follow Jesus takes great commitment. Jesus called his disciples to follow him, to leave their fishing nets, to leave their tax collector's booth and whatever they were doing at that moment, to become his disciples, to walk in his light. And Jesus also calls you to follow him. And that will not be easy. Jesus warned the people to count the cost. He said that those who followed him would have to deny themselves and take up their cross. And in the first century, that was meant literally. Many Christians were crucified for their faith in Jesus. That required courage and conviction. And Jesus also invites you to follow him. Will you do that? Well, Jesus even gives us a promise. Jesus encourages us to do this with his promise. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you follow me, he says, firstly, you will never walk in darkness. Darkness describes the world without God. Human society in rebellion against its maker. We live in a world of darkness. We see the evidence of it around us. People live in a moral and spiritual darkness. They're ignorant of God and are disobedient to him. Paul explained that in his letter to the Corinthians, that whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And in his letter, the apostle John described the connection between disobedience and darkness when he says, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." This describes many people today in our own society. They hate each other. They walk around in the darkness. They are blind. They have no idea where they are going. They live in the night. And I go back to the example when the street lights are switched off and you don't have a torch with you and it's pitch black. It's difficult to find a way. But Jesus promises that those who believe in him will never walk in darkness. Instead, they will have the light of life. On the fourth day of creation, God created the sun to give light on earth. The constant heat and light of the sun gives warmth and light and life to the plants and animals and the people on earth. And what the sun does for the earth, that's what Jesus does for his people. He gives us the light of his truth, the warmth of his presence. And the life he has gained through his death and resurrection. Malachi described him as the son of righteousness in chapter 4, verse 2. And the prophet Isaiah spoke about the coming of Jesus when he wrote, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." If you know the Lord Jesus, then you will live in the light and you will see clearly. John has recorded the story of one of Jesus' miracles to illustrate this. In chapter 9, we read about the man born blind. He lived in darkness. His physical blindness was a picture of his spiritual blindness. He could not see where he was going. He did not know Jesus. He had no saving knowledge of God. But Jesus saw him and cured him. He worked a miracle and gave him sight. The man could see. He could see the light of day and the people's faces and the trees and buildings. He could live in the light. And not only could he see with his physical eyes, but he could also see spiritually. He believed in Jesus as the Son of Man. He worshipped him, as we read. He worshipped him as Lord. And earlier, he had been in a discussion with the Pharisees who had said to him, "Give God the glory, we know this man is a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Can you say the same? I was blind, but now I see. Do you know this yourself? Has this been your experience? Can you see the Lord Jesus with the eyes of faith? Are you living in the light of life? And you might be a visitor here this morning. You might hear all of this and wonder if you're blind too. Well, pray to the Lord that he opens your eyes, that he opens your heart for Jesus and his salvation. Or you might be a believer and confess Jesus as your Savior. Then listen to what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Because he gave us a beautiful description of this light of Christ shining in us. When he writes, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If you believe in Jesus, you have this light shining in your heart. And now it's your task to spread this light. Jesus wants his light to shine through you. "You are the light of the world," he told his disciples. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." God has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Live in that light. I have a poem in my office. And it is in a secular office. And often people wondering about, we are often talking about the potential of people and bringing the best out of people. And some of my colleagues are using a poem that I have in my office to show to other people. It is a poem for Marianne Williamson. And sometimes it is referred to the inaugural speech from Nelson Mandela, but actually it isn't, so he can't claim that. And it is about what is our deepest fear. And the poem is as follows. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not in just some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Reflect this light to those around you. Hold it up for the people of the world. And a Sunday school song expresses it also very well. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small world, and I in mine. Are you shining with a clear, pure light? Are you holding up your candle? Are you lighting up your small corner of the world? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me shall never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the God seated in heaven, who created the heavens and the earth. We thank you for the gift we have received in Jesus, that through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the relationship with you has been restored. We thank you therefore that we can speak to you as a father. We thank you for the light that Jesus is in the world. And we pray that when we go from here, that we're able to shine that light to the people around us. And Lord, we also pray that when we hear this, and we might wonder if we are still blind, that you open our eyes. Just like you did with the man born blind that John has recorded in his gospel. Work with your spirit in our hearts. Help us to talk to one another. Help us to see with one another how it is to be with you. We thank you for our time this morning. And we ask you when we go from here to keep us safe. Bring us back tonight when we look at what you do for us and how we can trust you in our lives. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.